All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, put on these gloves.
Okay, it's never good when you start with the gloves.
Now take them off.
Hello, comfort zone.
And consider, I just want to give you the taste of gloves because you're not going to get them later.
Okay.
America and the world has a love affair with mice. We fucking love them rodents.
We do. I've not seen a lot of new mouse characters, is the thing.
Yeah, that's true. But there are a lot of old mouse characters.
Okay.
And there are a lot of mice in this dumpster behind a medical lab.
Oh, well, at least it's not a dumpster behind a wing joint.
Yeah, so I put two and two together.
Okay.
You know? And I've labeled these mice with famous mice.
Little groom.
And I want you to go bobbing for random.
I don't know. This is too far, Gary. I'm not putting my mouth in there. I'll reach in there and grab them.
Yeah. No gloves.
No. Okay. All right.
No gloves. And you have to lick your fingers afterwards.
No. No, I don't.
After eating chicken wing.
I
mouse
Gary.
Wing. Sorry. Let me be more specific. It's a
wow. It's some a crazy mouse. Some crazy science happening here. They're giving mice wings.
Well, chicken wings are sometimes legs and stuff. Sometimes a chicken wing is an entire mouse as well.
So, yeah, I saw that.
We call them flats. Yeah. So I got this flat here.
All right. Well, I'll just reach in here. We need to ask Will if they named the mice.
I'm sure I have asked him that before, and he loves bringing it up very cavalierly, but I do think it makes him a little bit uncomfortable.
Okay.
So then whenever I kind of yes and him about it, he shuts it down.
Okay.
It's a bizarre, like, push me, pull me kind of relationship.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to do this as quick as I can. Deeper. Ow. No, I can. You don't have to. I don't have to go.
I only grab this one at the bottom.
I'm going to.
The bottom layer is named. The top layer are all anonymous and will not get a funeral.
Okay. All right. I got one. Okay. This is unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. Lots of testing went on with these guys. Miscellaneous testing.
Yeah, this is like five mice joined at the tail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mouse prince.
Yeah, but the one I grabbed was...
That's Fievel.
It's five. Hey, everybody. It's five.
It's what happened to him after the movies.
Oh.
Yeah. He's got his little cap and everything.
Look at him. That's an American tail. And they got dead in the dumpster.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Gridler Suffering, the show where we suffer because we're missing Gridler, need Gridler.
We do. It's been a while since the Gridler has come up. The search for the Gridler continues to be fruitless.
Mm-hmm.
This week we are talking about an American Tale. This is a PS2 game that has no reason to exist. And it was put into, this is a patron demand from Gabe. Thank you, Gabe.
Thank you, Gabe. A game 21 years in the making.
Yeah. The name Fievel was on everybody's lips.
No, 2000, mid-2000s.
Does it matter that there were several Fievel games that came out before this one did? No. Doesn't matter at all. Does it matter that this one never came out in America? No.
Still real weird that this one came out at all.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, I am a six-year-old.
Okay.
You know? Fievel Goes West or American Tale just come out.
Uh-huh.
I'm exceedingly excited about it. I'm waiting for the perfect video game for it.
Uh-huh.
And died before it came out because it took 21 years before this came out.
Yeah. If you were born the day an American Tale came out, you probably could drink by the time this game came out.
Yeah.
Well, definitely because this only came
and
out in Europe.
And you need to.
Am I
diarrhea
right?
Diarrhea dump.
Whew. Give me this rolling rock.
Yeah. Fievel got his citizenship and eventually was granted a video game.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Was Fievel a part of your childhood? Were you Fievel-pilled? Were you doing goes West mode,
doing five shots off strippers' boobies. I'm sure I saw this.
Okay.
As a kid, I don't remember very much of it, other than that there's a Dom DeLuise about, and you never know when he's going to show up.
the unpredictable energy of a Dom DeLuise.
Well, when he's animated, like a real life Dom DeLuise, extremely predictable. Like, I can see that hat coming. But in a voice version, you never know when something's going to be voiced by Dom DeLuise.
No.
But so, yes and no. I didn't care. Like, I watched it as a kid, and it was like, you know what? I'm Secret of Nim. It's more my speed.
Yeah. That fucking horror movie. Yeah.
Yeah. The horror sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, heady sci-fi movie. That was more my speed than this. I think about this because of Fievel going west, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes west, and it makes me think of Ernest, and I wish that I didn't waste my Ernest Goes Galt joke on a tweet. Could have made it as an extension of Fievel's journey. I was Fievel pilled, but I don't think I ever saw an American Tale. There are two animated movies that I only got like the direct to video sequel to. So I had Fievel Goes West. Loved it as a kid. Got it on video, and I had The Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, I remember when The Rescuers went down under.
That's actually kind of good. I like The Rescuers scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I have fond memories of it from being a kid is the thing.
How does Fievel's immigrant experience inform his journey in Mystery of the Night Monster, an American Tale?
Well, you see, the Night Monster is actually an incredibly tactful allegory for
racism. Oh, yeah, it's actually xenophobia. Yeah.
Isn't that all of it? Isn't that the whole thing about this?
Dom DeLuise is still in that one. I didn't know he was still alive in 1999.
They couldn't get rid of him.
they got a recording of his voice saying, "Help me, Mom, please just let me die." And all his characters just say that now.
He's making increasingly frantic pleas to the audience.
I bet you that Fievel, if you were to watch these now, maybe does not hold up that well, because to me, an immigrant story kind of thing like that maybe pushes a little bit too far into weird mythical Americana.
So, I think it does.
I bet this doesn't age that well.
I bet you, you know, and I haven't talked to very many, I've not recently talked to very many, let's say fresh immigrants, you know, like exposed to, obviously when I lived in a bigger city, but like, you know, when I was in college, you know, talked to people whose like family moved here from like Nigeria, right? My neighbor, you know, just came here right away. Awesome guy. Name's Emmanuel, became a plastic surgeon. I don't know this, but I think maybe possibly the story that this tells is just generally not very possible anymore, and therefore kind of would read as more fiction. For people who don't know, an American Tale, it's a family of mice, that is just basically they are mice.
The Moskovitz.
They were unseated from their home in Russia. They're Russian Jews who were kicked out by a pogrom, and they came to America to start anew. But it's told as mice, so instead of like, you know, the czarist forces and such, it is cats. They're told, oh, we're going to come to America because there are no cats there. A mouse can live free, and then they find that there are cats here, and their life here is not as easy as they thought it would be.
The metaphor gets real interesting. It's especially modernized, it's real
stretchy, you know. I'm just thinking about an American Tale as I prepped for this today. There was a fair amount of media that I grew up exposed to that was like specifically about the Russian Jewish experience, right? You know, like Fiddler on the Roof, you know, we were made to watch that early on before I recognized that, like, some of the songs
Ending and Street Fighter 2.
But yeah. just like you grew up knowing stuff about like shtetls, you know, and like Rugrats as a cartoon was like, you know, just something I remember about that was like, oh, they really expose like that as a Russian Jewish family, and their grandparents, you know, still talk about the old country. You had Five Goes West, a book that like we read in school was Letters from Rivka, again about a Russian Jewish family that grew up facing pogroms. A lot of fiction about that. None of it, to my recollection, nobody ever sat down and said, hey, the common element of all of this is anti-Semitism. Hey, this is a real and actual force that is like a fucking cancer on society. That it's the reason why these people are miserable and being made to live in a suboptimal situation.
About sad people in worse clothes.
To
a kid, like, agreed. The eye opener for me for that, and I found this out in researching this, was Mouse.
Right.
Art Spiegelman's Mouse, which he rushed out the door to compete with American Tail, which is very funny because it also used that metaphor. And I would love an excuse to talk about Mouse on the show, but it's really hard to emulate Mouse the Hyperstone Heist.
I can't tell if that's too dark. Oh, so the Turtles game was a reskin of the Hyperstone. Okay, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
The Hyperstone, it represents a lot of things.
Jesus Christ, dude.
You know. But yeah, it's very funny that there are two major works that came out exactly the same time with Mice are Jewish people and Cats are anti-Semites, you know. Fascist, of some stripe,
and it's weird.
One is Mouse, and one is an American Tale.
Yeah, but like
somewhere out there,
it's been a while since I've read Mouse. Not gonna lie, I imagine looking at them. So the impetus for casting the Jewish characters as mice, right?
Yeah.
Looking at Art Spiegelman, I think I can see him doing that intentionally because of the way propaganda, you know, categorized, you know, Jewish people, the Nazi propaganda, to say like, hey, these are vermin. That's why you never want to dehumanize somebody when you talk against them, right?
Yeah, of course.
So it's a horrible thing to do. Art Spiegelman as a survivor intentionally choosing that imagery and, you know, like reappropriating it to tell the story, I can see that being done with a sensitivity and a tact that, say, a major motion picture created by Don Bluth would not.
Perhaps not.
Yeah. one of them, it feels like it is a part of the commentary that you've got.
Yeah.
You know, that choice. And the other one, it's like, oh, cartoons happen to be about mice, so let's make that happen regardless of the unfortunate implications contained therein, right?
There's also an element where Don Bluth, I don't actually know Don Bluth's religion, so I'm not trying to call him out or anything. He's not of direct Jewish descent, you know. He's Swedish,
okay,
primarily.
I've got no idea like how that
he's Mitt Romney's half cousin,
you know.
Whoa. I just found that out. It just feels like a weird thing for, you know, maybe this wasn't his story to tell.
I don't know.
Potentially. It's a weird, goofy comedy once they get there with lots of songs by Linda Ronstadt and like comic relief from Dom DeLuise. Like, it's not, it doesn't feel like it's being treated with the same gravity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's, it feels strange. Yeah. You know, so, it's hard to tell because, you know, maybe me seeing the Fievel movies early on did something, you know, did something for my understanding of the, you know, Russian Jewish immigrant experience. Maybe possibly, sure. Maybe somehow it got in there. It's impossible to say. But looking at it in retrospect, it does seem like a dicey proposition.
I think that by in Mouse, all the different races are animals, you know, and it is only because Art Spiegelman, you know, is speaking from experience and interviewing his father, his grandfather,
yeah,
that I think it's okay that he inherently made like one race the prey of another race genetically. Yeah. Uh-huh. That to me, that is a weird message.
Yeah.
And then it also implies, because of the higher, like, cartoon hierarchy, that another race out there would be the dogs. And the, and in Mouse, it's the Americans.
Yeah.
Come along and kill the cat Nazis to yeah. save the mice Jews. It's really,
and, you know,
fucked up.
And when in that ecology, most presidents up yeah. through let's say like the 20th century would have been yeah. part cat. You know,
yeah.
Nixon yeah. said some pretty rowdy things. I don't think there's anything yeah. about being American that makes you less of a. That's yeah. it's rough.
And then somewhere along there, there's a race, maybe the Corinthians or the you know the Artillians or whatever that are the humans who own the dogs.
It's the star seeds.
Yeah,
like you got the Anunnaki coming down. Like, yeah, what are we doing? Like,
at what point? it's a metaphor that falls apart.
It really know? Does.
And I love, like, Mouse. I'm just, you know, thinking about it as an adult, yeah. it does get a little weird.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a. And I've got no skin in the game. I'm wrapped around the axle, Gary.
it's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
This isn't our story to tell either, but no, yet, here not. We are.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I never liked the idea of cats being inherently Nazi-like, because cats, you know, are beautiful. They're dear and little. They're jellical to me.
Yeah.
Even though last night, can I tell you something that happened that was fucking amazing?
Yes.
With my cats?
Uh-huh.
A fly got into my room. So I've got, when it's hot outside, I use my air conditioner. Otherwise, I use my fan, but my windows are an unregulated shape. So I have one of those fans that goes in the window.
Oh, you know, but it doesn't make a good enough seal to keep bugs.
Yeah. Yep. And that, that window specifically has no screen.
Okay.
Just doesn't. I didn't have one when I moved in here. I want to build up a better relationship with my landlord before I start demanding stuff of them.
Yes.
So yeah. A bug got in, a fly. I noticed it in the bathroom, like, freaked me out because it surprised me. And I was like, shit, well, hopefully it'll just get out of here.
Uh-huh.
Last night before bed, looking at my iPad, reading comics.
Okay. And
the fly keeps landing on my iPad. Right. And I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I kept shooing it away, but it was like a moth. Like, it was attracted to the light
okay.
for some reason.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, no warning, no sound. Jessica walks up and fucking grabbed the fly with her hand and ate it like she was eating an apple without
what?
Toying with it. No move, no preparation, no like butt wiggle, no hunting, no playing with her prey. Just fucking one shot murked this fly, ate it in like 1.5 bites, and then walked away calmly as if like I had warged into her to do it and controlled her.
Okay.
It's incredible. And I've never seen her do this. I've never seen the eye of the tiger side of May or of Jessica.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it was incredible. It was awesome. And it was like a big fucking 2-bite fly. Like, if I were to eat this fly, if the proportions were the same,
uh-huh,
it would be the size of like a softball.
Oh god.
For me. And she just you know, just like
yeah.
chewed it down. And it was awesome. I respected it so much.
Yeah.
It was the, you know, and cats are dear and little, but it was the eye of the tiger kind of like predatory thing where I was like, yeah, maybe Mouse was right. I wasn't thinking that Mouse was right.
No.
Cats aren't yeah. Nazis. But yeah, it was just, it was the most badass I've seen a cat do something this yeah. close to my face in like a while.
It just reached up and yanked it. Now yeah. I got that respect relatively not early on because I was in college, but I just remember sitting on the front porch reading my college house, and then just being annoyed at the starlings above making mm-hmm. making a horrible racket, and one of the birds just kind of like flew down a little bit close to the ground. A stray orange tabby cat jumped up and caught the bird in his mouth and mm-hmm. then ran away with it. Like, oh, he calculated yeah. the arcs. like it was
I
a fucking
NASA
job.
Respect,
yeah.
respect for cats, but just I didn't know Jessica had the eye of the tiger.
Oh yeah, because she's baby. Yeah,
she's incredibly baby. She's a tiny little round like Katamari. Like, she's basically, you know, a potato with four toothpicks sticking out of it. Like,
right.
She's a little chonker girl.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So anywho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good
I love it when a cat does so, like, just fucking murks a fucking fly. Just like
when they remember. You. When they remember that they're animals.
Yeah, yeah. I'm an apex predator.
Oh, yeah.
Like, holy fuck. Shit.
Yeah.
You know? Bam. Yeah, it was pretty good. And also, then I spent some time Googling, like, is that okay? Because I don't
Right, right. Is it like, is that a way? Is that a way that a cat can get worms? Like, I don't know that I can stop a cat from eating all the bugs. Like,
no.
It's kind of like they do their own thing most of the time. I can't watch them.
What a merciful death for that fly.
Oh yeah,
because it was just really quick. Mm-hmm. You know, ordinarily you'd be played with, like its wing would get damaged, you'd fly in circles for a little bit. You know.
Yeah.
Really sad. This just Jessica was put it out of its misery like instant.
Oh yeah, no, you just know? Mr. Sandman. She gave him a dream.
Yeah. Dude, double tap, the little motherfucker. Yeah, Jesus. And it was such a direct response to me being annoyed by it. It was great.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever think that like when cats do something and it feels really strangely like they're reacting to your thoughts? I know that they're not. I'm not, an insane person. But do you ever wonder sometimes like whether that's actually true? Like they can understand your words or thoughts. Wonder, but just as a fun little,
you get those moments where you anthropomorphize them, know, like if I've been like sick or, I've had my back and neck hurting for a little while. Yeah. Just
not to mention your pussy and your crack.
Oh, man, don't get me started about my pussy and my crack. Okay.
Oh, my aching pussy and crack.
Oh jeez! Oh man!
Oh. Ow!
Peg, my pussy and crack. So yeah, no, just we'll be here all day. No. But I've been kind of laid up. I've not been doing as much stuff around the house. Not that I'm a dynamo of activity, regardless. But like,
deviling. Yeah,
right. You know, but like, I've just been laying down, reading stuff more often, and they'll come up and, lay next to me. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I initially think, oh, they know I'm in pain. And they want to comfort me, right?
No,
I'm a warm thing that is horizontal that presents a soft surface for them to nap on.
Well, they like you as well. Like cat affection is true. They just don't understand what a backache is.
Right.
And like they might just want to be by you because you're their person. Like that's real.
Yeah.
It's not purely warmth.
Right, you know, right. I just try to keep perspective. But I have those moments where I'm like, oh, they're nursing me. It's good. They're purring, and it's like, no, there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for this. I'm just laying down more, and I notice it more. It's an availability heuristic. It's your brain trying to trick you, like everything.
Yes. This video game, they stuck Fievel inside a monkey ball.
Yeah, but it's only like the first. This is a mini game collection where each it progresses through a bunch of different mini games, but you can't pick them. So the first few levels, you're in a soap bubble on a ship, monkey balling around, and then it becomes a different game after a few levels.
It's frustrating to me because they use gigantic, huge blocks of cheese as just an obstacle.
Yeah,
like this was a Hot Wheels racer or something, and not just like the biggest fucking payday this mouse should have seen. Like, he should have absolutely Tex Avery like boinga, boinga, or
wooga. Oh, we'll live like kings. We'll live like hell, like, damn ass kings.
Like we just escaped starvation.
Especially
with Fievel's background, this much cheese should really fuck him up.
Oh yeah,
you know, it'd be like going back in time and showing, you know, there's that like onion thing where it's like the amount of berry-licious flavor in a, you know, crunch berry would kill the average peasant or whatever. Like, this should absolutely destroy Fievel's brain.
Oh, future shock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'd be inadvisable. Set for life.
Pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does not give a shit. Well, there's the pickup ones and there's also ones that are just in your way.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So I didn't get far enough to go to the other mini games because this is dog shit.
No, this is extremely bad. This is one that I had to stop playing for like sensory reasons.
Yeah.
Because the camera is in real close on this and it doesn't know what to do mm-hmm. when you're up against a wall, and God forbid if you're up against a corner. So it starts like jittering, trying to find a spot and strobing. And I was like, this is making me uncomfortable to play, actually. So
I have never played a game before that gave me more sympathy for the camera. Like, I was personifying the camera and being like, oh, it's having such a hard time.
What do I do?
What do I feed you? How do I make you happy? Like, it was really struggling.
Like, I was rooting for a little guy.
Yeah, it's dear and little as well. Like, it's also trying its best.
Yeah.
You know? I was just very very surprised by that.
Yeah,
it's just very funny to take the story of immigration and the American Dream and be like, well, I don't know, what if you monkey balled around a ship?
Yeah, what if
you know, for cheese?
Also, like, what if we monkey ball, but like didn't take any of the actual like functional design of monkey ball? Like, monkey ball doesn't work if the camera is pinned very close to the monkey. You kind of have to be above the monkey and the ball.
Because, and it's also like an obstacle course.
Yeah.
This is like exploratory, like it's a collectathon.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do a spiral level in a monkey ball. You know, well, that's dumb as hell.
You would like prototype one and realize, oh yeah, this is not how this works. Like, you can't have that indirect of control over your guy if you're expected to do anything.
You 1,000% wouldn't do it in like 2009 or whenever this came out. 2006, 2004.
Let me see when this came out.
I almost got it.
Holy shit. That is well past the sell-by date on the PS2.
Yeah, and well past the sell date on Fievel.
Yeah.
At this point, Fievel is old enough now to start not liking other immigrants.
That final term where he becomes so American. Torinos.
Yeah. He totally embraces the American experience.
Yeah, Fievel pulls the ladder.
Fievel donates to ICE. You know, like this is an old man Fievel.
It's the American way. Yeah. No, Fievel's embittered by the experience.
That's what happens with an American tale. If it's going to be truly an American tale.
Yeah.
You know,
You got to start punching. Got to start punching down somehow.
Yeah. Fievel's tax bracket goes up at the same time as politics swings sharply to the right.
Who knew?
You know, he hasn't all that cheese.
Huh.
Like, being rich is going to break Fievel's brain.
It is. Like so many before him.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sad. You hate to see it.
Yeah, absolutely hate to see it. I would love the idea of a Fievel that is still like a class ally.
Yeah.
But I'm not naive.
No. I mean,
I'm not an idiot. So,
I don't know. I just, you like to hope. You like to hope that those early experiences of privation we give you would soften your heart.
Yeah. But,
who knows? Yeah, I've never been in that situation. I don't know how hard your heart has to be to survive that.
Yeah. I had no idea. He died, sadly, or not sadly, Dom DeLuise got to live to see this game.
Did he? Sadly, Dom DeLuise remained at large until this was published.
He survived until 2009.
Okay.
Kind of surprisingly.
Huh.
Yeah.
Man, look at the credits on Dom DeLuise, huh?
He's incredible. My favorite thing that he in 2006, Video Classroom Lesson 1, Space NC.
Oh god.
A video short where he played an animated school teacher.
Oh Dom, how that's the mighty depressing. Have fallen.
Yeah, that's depressing. Oh, Mario as Mario voice.
What?
That
can't
that doesn't
be.
Have a Wikipedia link.
It really doesn't. I'm wait
Italian
a minute.
American in Yonkers. Oh, it's not our Mario. Oh, Rudy Giuliani plays Uncle Rudy in this.
Huh. I don't care for that. Yeah. Also, what I don't. So at the bottom of the film credits on Dom DeLuise, we really should have found this earlier in the episode.
Oh, Bongi Bear?
Yeah, Bongi Bear. And the Kingdom of Rhythm provides the voice of Mirin. As a voice there. Came out in 2019. You will recognize that as being well after 2009 when he passed away. This is a posthumous. It was recorded in 2006. Why did this movie take 13 years to come out?
Because I tell you, they had to get the AI to come up so they could transfer Please Let Me Die into whatever Marin was going to say. this whole episode makes it sound like I hate Dom DeLuise. I have no opinions. I've never thought of a person I have less opinion on than Dom DeLuise.
I mean,
this is just not my business. He may as well be a Roblox. Like, I just, this is so before my generation. This Beyblade shit, this Dom DeLuise shit, I don't care. Not for me.
I know him as like a perennial character actor, right? Like, just like, oh yeah, he's a what's his name from Cannonball Run. Cool.
Yeah. The big guy with the hat.
Paisley shirt. A person my age has no business watching Cannonball Run. No. Why do I know Cannonball Run?
No, I couldn't tell you what happens in Cannonball Run. I don't know what Cannonball Run is.
They're running. They're running course is what they're doing.
Running course.
That's Smokey and the Bandit. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, no. I don't. Running what?
No.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Coors beer. Okay.
Oh, Coors.
No, it's Coors. Yes. Okay. There we go. No, I'm getting those mixed up. Cannonball Run has nothing to do with Coors. I'm thinking of Smokey and the Bandit. Coors beer used to have very limited distribution because they brewed it, I think, in Colorado, and they would not distribute it in a place where it would not be fresh. So I think it's Smokey and the Bandit where what's his name is running Coors across the country, which is illegal, and he's got to be caught. He's running from the law. Cannonball Run is its own thing.
For Coors?
Yeah. For Coors.
Like, oh man, we can't get this bubble tape gum the side of the Mississippi. Let's commit crimes to get it.
Like, yeah. The Cannonball Run is a name of an actual, it's an actual course. It's like an outlaw racing thing that used to happen from Bakersfield. It's across the country is what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a race across the country is what the Cannonball Run is. Sorry. I'm getting my awful 70s road movies mixed up.
Yeah. Well, and I initially was going to come into this combatively because thinking like, oh man, Cole's a 37 year old grandpa. Like he's going to love this stuff. But I understand that your flavor isn't like scuzzy 70s easy rider style
stuff.
Like Nick and I'd skip that shit.
Like, to a degree. Nick and Knight didn't carry an awful lot of Dukes of Hazzard. I think if I was exposed to Dukes of Hazzard earlier, that might have sunk in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them Duke boys.
That was not my particular flavor. Dukes of Hazzard was like, it ran on TBS when I was at school.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, and the secret to all that stuff to me is that it's all boring as sin.
Well, of course.
Like watching an episode of Dukes of Hazzard, like, are you fucking kidding? Nothing happens.
They only have the budget for one jump per episode. Yeah. So it's like Ultraman. Yeah,
very similar.
You're not watching Power Rangers like expecting them to bring up the Megazord, 5 minutes in. That's how they end the episode.
You're gonna get a lot of Bulk and Skull walking back and forth.
Yeah, doing a bunch of hijinks. Yeah.
The Dom DeLuise cookbook career got less conceptual as you went on, because it started with Eat This, It'll Make You Feel Better, Mama's Italian Home Cooking, and other favorites for family and friends.
Nice.
So, fair. Second book is called Eat This Too, It'll Also Make You Feel Better, which I think is pretty funny. I really appreciate him making a book 9 years later that's called like, oh yeah, also.
Yeah.
But then the third book is just called The Pizza Challenge.
Wikipedia
link. I wonder what that's about.
I can envision a challenge involving pizza.
Like pizza run, meatball run, that kind of thing. Like, yeah, the pizza challenge. And then if you look that up, the first was, it has so little like SEO web presence, is that the first link is a regional pizza challenge where two people have to eat a huge pizza at Alberto's Pizza Shop.
Yeah, that's the pizza challenge that I envisioned.
I envisioned a pizza challenge because there are many of these.
Oh, yeah,
this is
yeah.
the very specific one at Alberto's.
No, I did. I didn't. I mean, I'm not. Yeah. If I envisioned that specific one, that'd be kind of crazy.
Well, that's, I thought maybe this one was very well known, but it's just this is the first result on Google, which the whole world uses. Yeah. I understand it's different Googles in different countries, but still the idea that like, I'm looking for a pizza challenge and the number one result is not a book called that. It's me going to California to try to split a big pizza to get $100 cash money prize. And a pat on the back. Oh, losers get to pay for the pizza and get a pat on the back.
Oh yeah, that's how it usually goes. It's like drinking a boot of beer. If you finish it off, you buy the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. This pizza does look good though. I'm still hungry. We recorded at Bonfire City before this and I had a beef stick, but I'm still hungry.
Yeah, I need to find out what's going on with this Bonji Bear movie that Dom DeLuise was in posthumously 13 years.
It came out 13 years after.
I need an oral history of this awful looking cartoon. It looks like a Flash cartoon.
In 2009, the year he died, he directed Gift of the Hoopoe short film.
I don't want to know.
So he's still active at Gift of the Hoopoe.
Huh.
I don't like saying Hoopoe very much.
Look at the faces on these bad boys.
Let me pull up the Slack here.
Wait, no, let me see here. Let's copy the image. There we are. From Bonji Bear, the identical, black hole sun smiles on these things.
Yeah. This is a little bit, bad mobile game.
Yeah.
This girl's going to take a shit in that guy's face. And he's going to decide if he wants to be with her.
That princess is going to get real stinky before this is through.
Yeah. Did you see? You follow that Twitter account?
There was one yesterday
where the guy was doing exercise with a girl, and she literally took a projectile shit all over his face. Like, I was just like, holy crap, man. Like, at some point, no amount of makeover is really going to make up for this.
No, you know? That's a year's long project to make up for that.
Just a visit to a doctor. Like, something is wrong. You do not need to blow dry your hair.
Healing is a process. Okay. You don't go to a doctor and then it like immediately makes it better.
You're shitting on the face of your spotter. I don't think that's something that like can be solved by a cartoon pair of scissors.
Yeah. I saw one. I thought you were going to talk about this one where like this girl, it's a girl. She's trying to like make the ideal man, you know? And so like, it just, there's like a recipe and there are like four different like jars of stuff that she's pulling from. And as she's making this guy, she accidentally pulls one that just says gay.
Okay.
And then like, oh, actually use that one. And then like it goes into the game and her like he just says, I'm gay. She says, no,
no. It's like,
that account is not okay. We're talking about mobile game hell.
It's consistently point, like shocking. Like to me, I mean, I understand who gets shocked, right? That's lame, but it does consistently surprise me.
Yeah,
which is how far it goes.
It is real. It is more unpredictable than I think something like it has a right to be.
So two things that happened when I was looking at this. One, I had the page for Don Bluth open as well, but I got them confused because I just had many tabs open. So I just saw DO, so I thought it was the Dom DeLuise one.
Okay.
And it credited him in 2019 as an animator. And I was like, oh, we make a lot of jokes about posthumous Dom DeLuise voice, but posthumous animation. But then I switched back to the Dom tab. And in 1996, he was in Toonstruck, which apparently is like a worthwhile adventure game that's impossible to play.
Yeah.
He plays a character named Fingers the Cashier.
Oh, no.
I don't like Fingers the Cashier.
No, not
1996,
one bit.
Toonstruck Fingers the Cashier. As just like a sentence is gross to me.
No, yeah. When you say it, you don't see where the quotes are. Yeah.
Yeah, Fingers.
Toonstruck, that's the Christopher Lloyd. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
It's the Roger Rabbit like graphic adventure game.
Right.
It's not specifically Roger Rabbit, but same basic idea.
Yes, it's somebody's brought into Cool World. Yeah.
Yeah. Based on a tabletop game.
Huh.
Yeah.
Neat.
I think it's based on a tabletop game. If it's not based on it, then it's the same. I think it's that license. I could be wrong about that. There's a tabletop game that's the same basic idea.
Yeah.
Real weird thing, this horrible Fievel game we talked about. There was originally going to be a PC port. There's like the cutting room floor entry on this where it's this horrible little Fievel hanging out by a bunch of file icons. Like, get up. If somebody wants to have a really confusing and unique like Twitter profile picture, like here's one for you.
Okay.
You know, because you just like, I don't know, like, you know, they put this in the Slack here for you.
Okay. No, I was going to go look for it.
I got you.
This is like, this is so tiny and has so little presence that I would not have thought to go. Look at him.
This little tiny immigrant hanging out by a file.
There's eight
poses and a bunch of them are all like, aw, gee. You know, like, this is very funny to me. Empty.
I would be afraid to do that ironically because I do not know what a Fievel avatar would say to the world that I do not intend to, that I do not intend it to say.
Fievel is moments away from being reclaimed like Pepe. Like,
wait a minute. Has Fievel gone through a Pepe transformation?
I don't know. I don't know whether Fievel has gotten built. Like,
we had all that joking about him becoming a class traitor.
Yeah, becoming a Gran Torino. We don't know what the future holds for Fievel is the thing.
After he deals with that darkness monster or whatever it is.
After he went and rooted and tooted, did some cowboy shit for some reason.
I, I, gun to my head, I could not tell you anything that happened in Five Will Goes West other than what is obvious from the title.
I bet you for a story that is ostensibly about an immigrant and deals with race, I bet you there's some real racist indigenous people shit in that movie.
I would guarantee. Oh yeah. No.
No. I'm willing to throw Five Will into the past. I don't care for a Five Will and I want to move on.
I think we have moved beyond the need for Five Will.
Yeah. Five Will is outmoded. We need a weapon to surpass Five Will. no longer Five Will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remind me who, Gabe.
Yes. Gabe. Thank you. I wanted to do one more thing before we wrapped up. There's not much on Game Facts for this, but just to let you know how inescapable this kind of guy is. Online, okay. There is one topic on the message board for this on Game Facts. Okay. The topic is this game sucks. This person, his name is Tim, says, yep. You all must know. Okay, cool. Yes. And then somebody responded, somebody came here, sought this out. Some kind of flare went up, came here. Barbaric Avatar comes in, sees somebody say this game sucks, and says, it's not the worst thing I've ever played.
Oh, man.
Hey, Barbaric Avatar.
Yeah.
Fucking stop.
we are very specifically in a career that exposes us to that nonstop.
Uh-huh.
You know, like somebody being like, hey, man, it's a 5 out of 10. You know, like this kind of thing shows up all the time.
I just picture them like in my head, they're in a watering hole, like a bunch of gazelle, you know, just bent over at the waist laughing. And then like we say like, oh yeah, this thing is dog shit. And then like their heads pop up and they look left and right. And then start leaping across the plane to like just rushing to get here and say, well, actually,
yeah, it's not the worst thing that's ever been. So therefore it's not worth talking about.
Oh man.
Yeah, people will dive on a grenade to defend any old bullshit.
Three years ago,
for a game that came out in 2007, for a fucking movie that came out in 1986.
Uh-huh.
No, come on, man. And we're talking about it in 2022.
I know, right?
Everything is fucked. Damn it, Five Will.
God damn it, Five, stay. Stay
will in the to past. Kill you. Yeah. You will to fucking one shot murk you.
Oh God. I just wanted to.
That fucking. I hate that. It's not.
Wait a minute.
The most or least. Why can anyone talk about it?
Wait a minute. No. This goes even further. So the person who said it's actually not the worst thing I've ever played, Barbaric Avatar, is the person who wrote the one review for this.
Well, he's an expert. That's why he was coming in.
A 21-year wait for a game that has virtually nothing to do with the movie. They gave it a 4. They gave it a 4 out of 10.
He was literally being like, no, it's actually a 5 out of 10. You know, it's actually a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
What else are what are your other contributions? Oh God.
Ding dong.
Yeah, did a guide about Air Ranger rescue helicopter. Yeah, all their stuff is shovelware.
Yeah. And he's just there to defend how shovelware could be worse is his purpose in life. You know,
what in the world
could be way worse.
They gave Haven Call of the King a 2. Yeah, no, like all of it is that. What a weird person.
Awful.
Huh. Okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's good. It's good to know. man, fuck. Anywho, Five Will. If you like the show, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There you can not only get bonus episodes of this, but you can actually just do like a Gabe and have us play something.
Yeah. We're still taking those. And we really appreciate everybody who has done and will do that.
Yeah. It would be awesome. Mm-hmm. You can also leave us ratings, reviews, tell your friends. Those are all awesome things you can do. What else? What can they do finally, Cole?
Finally, what they can do, don't be like that guy. really. I don't have a tweet response from anybody else. But if you find yourself tempted to be the barbaric avatar, you know, mm-hmm. don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't.